This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, talking about things which maybe people aren't so happy about is the possibility of a windfall tax, because the first day of Parliament came as a rude shock for investors and the corporate world as a second reading of the Windfall Profit Levy Amendment Bill 2020 in the Parliament Order Paper was published. So the adoption of a windfall tax in order to get to tax super profits has received wide attention of late, with many politicians across both aisles advocating for it.
I mean, that's done against the backdrop of a government seen in dire need for more public revenue to fund its stimulus measures. Now, the often talked about target for the windfall tax has always been the rubber glove industry, which did see earnings grow up to 15 times when the pandemic struck the hardest, you know, and was driven by abnormally strong demand and subsequently higher average selling prices in the period. But, you know, Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul has warned that any sudden implementation of such a tax could send the wrong signal to investors. So, should the government target super profits? Who should be targeted? And will it leave a permanent scar on the investing community?
So, to help us unpack these issues around the adoption of a windfall tax, we have on the line with us Dr. Virinderjit Singh, President of the Malaysian Institute of Accountants. Good morning, sir. Now, such populist measures to tax excessive profits and to channel the funds towards supporting COVID-19 pandemic efforts have re-emerged again in Parliament. But how does one measure excesses in the first place?
Quickly, I think that's a good question, because you need to have a number of measures. For example, the current windfall profit levy that we have in Malaysia is on palm oil. And that is based on CPO prices. So the external prices, you can look at it, you know it, and it's fixed, and therefore you can easily establish a certain levy. In certain countries in the world, there have been other types of windfall profits tax or windfall levies. Now, we also had one in the past on independent power producers, and we also had a windfall tax, although we used to call it a windfall levy. And that was based on a threshold above 9% of return on assets. And then the amount exceeding that will be taxed at 30% in terms of a levy. So the word excessive is subjective. Obviously, we also need to bear in mind that windfall taxes are not perennial. They come into play whenever there are exceptional circumstances, like what you just mentioned about excessive profits being made by certain sectors, because despite a downturn, certain sectors do very well. So the question does arise, should they be subject to some kind of a levy? We've seen that in history in the past when you look at oil prices. In some countries, there was also issues in the past, in the US, in the UK, because the oil producers were making hefty profits. So should we not take a stake or part of it and call it a windfall tax? So it's been around, but it's usually limited to sectors. Yeah. So excessiveness can be measured in various ways, whether it is simply by way of putting a barrier to say if 50 million in net profits. Again, that can be challenged because different sectors have different types of profitability. So I suppose one of the ways would be that if you are tied to an external price, something that's fixed by markets, global markets, that's easier. Otherwise, you're always subject to challenges. So it is a difficult one, but it can be done. If one does studies of the industry, looking at average prices over the profits over the last 3-5 years, and so on. But bear in mind that in Malaysia, when this talk is coming back, is really because of businesses which have made excessive profits despite the fact that there has been a downturn due to the COVID-19 thing. So it's, and also we must bear in mind that windfall taxes or windfall levies that we talk about are usually not there for the long term. And they are usually there for some period of time, and then after that it can be removed. So So lots of things to think about.
So let's just do an example, right? Because the target is like glove makers now. So in your view, should we be taxing when, let's say for gloves, a certain ASP, average selling price, hits a certain number? Or do we go to the bottom line and tax at the super profits?
Yeah, so exactly. So it could be that if that price that is fixed for glove sectors is something that is internationally accepted, then that could be an average, that could be a base, yeah? And if you want to then not follow that and look at the profits made, then you've got to look at analysis over the last 3, 4, 5 years, good times and bad times, right? And look at whether the profits are really excessive. Obviously, in the case of the glove sector, but mind you, it's not in the glove sector. It could be some others who have gained benefits in terms of the pandemic. But of course, the glove sector is the primary example. If you look at the glove sector, the issue here, many commentators talk about, is the fact that the sales and the turnover has shot up because of the special medical emergency that exists in the world for the last almost 2 years. So that's the rationale of saying that you've therefore enjoyed super profits. But you are absolutely right. The measurement of that could be based on the selling price of the gloves. But you have to be confident that that price cannot be manipulated and is something that is externally fixed. Then you have a basis.
And I just want to ask this broader general question, please. Do we have any evidence that windfall tax actually has an impact, a negative one, on foreign and domestic longer-term investment? I mean, is it actually regressive in nature?
No, I think, look, there has been no studies that I'm aware of which has actually studied that particular impact. But remember that if we look at windfall tax or windfall levies, it's usually sector relevant. It doesn't apply across the board. And so if you're looking at a sector, for example, historically, we had independent power producers, and they were all subject to this windfall levy or windfall profit levy. And that was focused only on independent power producers for various reasons. But it doesn't affect the rest of the community. So it will impact perhaps investment in that sector, which is subject to the windfall levy, but it will not going to impact the others. Now, the only reason we are now talking about this is, and the knee-jerk reaction that occurs is because investors could be worried that this could eventually spread to the rest. And I don't think that's a cause for concern because, like I said earlier, the windfall levy or windfall profit levy, some people call it windfall tax, is usually sector-specific, usually for a limited period, cannot go on forever, and it is not the same as an income tax. So it's a slight difference here. And also, in the case of our oil palm producers, the levy that they pay under the legislation that we have, which is called a Windfall Profit Levy Act 1998, actually, the levy is deductible for income tax purposes. So it's simply an imposition, which is a deductible expense. So I think that makes it a bit more tenable from the point of view of the oil palm producers.
And Dr. Verinder, just want to get your quick perspective on this, right? What are the creative ways that companies have adopted in the past to avoid paying windfall taxes? I mean, how do they game the system? I mean, we shouldn't encourage it, but what have you seen in the past take place?
Well, if you talk about oil palm producers, then nothing can be done because that's based on external price, right? And if you looked at the glove sector, you were mentioning possibly if they go on the average selling price, again, it's a fixed thing. So you can't really manipulate. But if you are aiming at excess profits, now I wanted to just bring our discussion to one point. Historically in Malaysia, we've had something called an excess profits tax. And this was under the income tax legislation, the Income Tax Act. And this was from 1975 to 1988, all right? And this applied to everyone, every company. And it was imposed at the rate of 5% of profits in excess of a certain threshold specified in the law. And later it was reduced to 3%. and later was abolished because of our general trend in reducing our corporate taxes over time. Now, in that situation, when you had an excess profits tax under the Income Tax Act based on a threshold of the total profits made, anything above that, you pay an additional levy. We call it a 5% or 3% tax. That can be manipulated because you can try to lower your profits somewhat by more expenditure. You can make donations to charitable organizations and so on. You can, so that kind of a possibility in terms of behavior change is possible. So you don't want to reach the threshold. But then again, you may not do justice to your shareholders who are still expecting dividends and so expect you to pay to have higher profitability because that affects your share prices and so on. So it's a situation depending on what is the measure of excessiveness, and then there could be some creative ways of managing that.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Dr. Virendrajit Singh from the Malaysian Institute of Accountants, telling us about windfall tax and how it could possibly be implemented. And I think the crux is this definition of excessive, right? What do you mean by it? What is it going to be tied to? I have my reservations, partially because I always think it might be regressive in the sense that will it curb investment, longer term investment?
Yep.
Even if it's like, you know, that it is only for this sector, will you as a foreign investor or even domestic investor say, hey, I don't want to build my plant here, I'll go somewhere else, because I don't have to pay this windfall tax? Imagine also if you were an investor and you were halfway through building that plant and then there's this windfall tax.
Well, the issue also is that if you tax at the top line, which is like a driver, like palm oil prices or glove prices, the issue is that what does it mean for the bottom line later when you have cost pressures taking place, right?
So your tax refund then?
Do you get your tax refunds there? So that's also, for me, while I get the intention that you want to ensure transparency and avoid, you know, that, but it's not easy to implement, I feel.
Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.